Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Lamed Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find at the third, fourth line from the top of Daf Lamed Dalid. So we can start with the Mishnah. Hoiver lifnei hateva v'ta'a. Someone who is serving as a shliach tzibur and he made a mistake. Yavor acher tachtov. Someone should replace him. In other words, you're dealing with someone that started as a shliach tzibur and then in the Shmon Esrei he got to a point where he didn't know how to continue. So have someone else take over. Velo yehe sarvin boisishan. The person being requested to fill the position should not hesitate. Sarvon is an act of hesitating to take a position of honor, of leadership, which is the case in a shliach tzibur. However, even though it's a positive attribute to be a sarvon, to hesitate so as to avoid the appearance of haughtiness, nevertheless, under these circumstances, when the community is waiting for you, waiting for the davening to continue, so as to avoid tircha de sibura, do not exercise hesitation at that moment. Mehechon hu maschil, the replacement individual, where should he start? Where should he pick up from? Answer, mitchila sabrocha shetoa ba, from the beginning of the brocha that the previous shliach tzibur made his mistake and erred and could not continue. Ho'iver lifnei hateva lo yane omein achar hakoyanim b'nei hatiruf. The person serving as shliach tzibur should not answer omein to the kohanim who are blessing the community, the congregation. Certainly, during holidays in a world over, kohanim bless the people, and in certain parts of Eretz Yisrael, Kohanim actually bless the people every day in the Shacharis Davening. Whatever the case is, the Mishnah is saying that the Shliach Tzibur should not answer Omein to the Brachos of the Kohen. The Kohanim say three Brachos that constitute the Brachos Kohanim, three Psukim, Yevorechecha Hashem V'yishmerecha, at which point there is a response of Omein. And similarly to the second section and the third section, the Shliach Tzibur is told by the Mishnah not to respond Omein because it will cause him confusion. That's what's meant by Mipnei HaTiruf. V'im ein shom kohen elohu. Let's say you have a situation where there are no kohanim in the congregation other than the Shliach Tzibur himself. Lo yiso es kapov. So he is not to do the priestly blessing, the Birkas Kohanim, because that will disturb his ability to get back into the Shmon Esrei, because after all, the Birkas Kohanim is recited in the middle of the repetition of the Shmon Esrei. So if he has to do the Birkas Kohanim, it'll throw him off. V'im hafto chosoi shu noisi es kapo v'choizer litfiloso rashoi, if he has self-confidence that he can say the respective psukim of the Birkos Kehanim and then pick up as shliach tzibur with the sim shalom bracha which follows the Birkos Kehanim, so fine, then he can do it. He can do the Birkos Kehanim. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara opens up with a Tanaic source which deals with the topic of Sarvonus. And that's what we've listed on the side under our topic heading. Tanu Rabbanan. Ho'ivir lifnei hateva tzorch l'sarev. One who is being called to lead the communal tefila, he should hesitate. V'im eino misarev. And if he doesn't, if he lunges forth at the offering, to lead. Doime letavshil she'en bo melach. He is like a dish that doesn't have any seasoning, any salt in it. In other words, there's something missing in this individual that he behaves that way. And if he is overly hesitant, overly resistant in accepting the role of Shliach Tzibor, then Doime letavshil she'higdichosoi melach. He is like someone that's been over-salted. Too much of a good thing also ruins it. Ketzel huosa, so how should one practice? Pam rishoni yisarev, upon the first offering, can you be shleil tzibur, say, hesitate, shnia mehavhev. The star indicates a commentary in the margin saying, yenanea barosho. So you make some type of body movement, as if he is getting up to accept the position, and Shlishis, upon being requested a third time, poshet es raglo v'yoreh, then actually walk to the position where the Shliach Tzibur stands for the davening. Tonu Rabbanan, Shloisha Rubon, Koshe, Umiuton Yofe. There are three things that we can describe as too much, or a lot of it is not good, a little bit of it is good. Ve'egulhein, the following are the examples. Sor is sourdough. It fulfills the role of yeast in baking, causing dough to rise. So a little bit of sor, it sounds very similar, by the way, to the English word sourdough, which is the raising element in dough. So a little bit of that is good. Too much will ruin the batter. Umelach, a little bit of salt is good. Too much is no good. And sarvonus, our topic of hesitation. Before continuing in the Gemara, we glance at the sign under our No Say heading, the topic heading, and we've written Hatoya b'shmoina esrei lehechon hu chozer. Someone who makes a mistake in shmoina esrei, what point should he go back to the pickup? And Mivne shel shmoina esrei, also deal with the structure of the shmoina esrei. So the Gemara Tonu Rabbanan Omer Rav Huna. We've underlined Rav Huna's name. Ta'a b'sholosh rishonos chozer rosh. If a person made a mistake in the first three brachas, they're treated as a single unit, so he has to go back to the beginning of the Shmoneh Esrei. B'emtsoyos, if he made a mistake in the middle brachas, chozer le'ato chonein. He has to go back to the beginning of the middle section of brachas, which is ato chonein. This is Rav Huna's opinion. B'achroinos chozer la'voida. If he made a mistake somewhere in the last three brachas, he goes back to avoda is ritzei. Rav Asi Omar emsoyus ein lohen seder. Rav Asi says the middle brachas don't have a particular order. Let's take a look at Rashi. Ein lohen seder v'im dileg brocha achas. If a person, let's say, his mistake was that he skipped one of the middle brachas, one of the middle 12 brachas, v'achar kach nizkar bo, and then he remembers, oh, I missed such and such a bracha. Oimra, he says it, af shelo b'mkomo, even if it's not in its place. So this would be a point of discrepancy between, distinction between Rav Huna and Rav Asi. A mistake like we just described, where he skips a middle bracha, according to Rav Huna, he would have to go back to ato choinein, and according to Rav Asi, say it where you remembered it. Mosiv Rav Sheshes, Mehechon Hu Choser, Mitchilas Habrocha Sheto'o Ze. So the Rav Sheshes raises a question, and the Gemara says, this seems to be Tivta de Rav Huna. This seems to be a refutation of Rav Huna, because all this source says that when you go back to make up the mistake that you made, you just pick up the Brocha that you missed, that you made a mistake in, not going back to Ato Chonim. Amar Loch Rav Huna answers, Amsos Kulhu Chalo Birkuso Ninhu. We view all of the middle section as if it's one bracha. And therefore, when the source says go back to the bracha, it means go back to Ato Chonein. Omar Rav Yehuda. Here we have a point, and we've listed this as a long point. The encircled nun with the descending vertical dash line indicates the length of this point. Omar Rav Yehuda, Le'olam Al Yishal Odom Tzrochov. A person should not make his personal requests in the Shmoneh Esrei, lo b'sholosh rishonos, v'lo b'sholosh achronos, not in the first three brachas, nor in the group last three, the last group of three brachas, Ela Bamseos, but in the middle section. There are 12 middle brachas from Ata Chonein, concluding with Shema Koilenu. And if a person has a personal need, so he would insert that in the related bracha, whether if it's a question of need for improved health, so there's Rifa'enu. If there's a need for improved memory, so there's Ata Chonein, and etc. along those lines. And the Omar Rav Chanina, he explains why it is that which we just said. Rav Chaninas explains, Rishonos doime le'evet shemistadah shevach lifnei rabba. The first three brachas are not for personal requests. They have a special purpose. They are like a slave that is praising his master. Emtsoyos doime le'evet shemavakish pras mirabo. The middle three brachas, the middle section of brachas, that is like a servant asking for a portion. He's putting in a request from his master. So that's where you put in your personal requests. And achronos doime le'evet shekibo pras mirabo, notel reshus v'holech lo. The last three brachas are where we present ourselves as servants that received a portion already. And notel reshus v'holech lo, the Rashi says v'niftar we should have said shekibo pras mirabo v'niftar v'holech lo. Niftar means notel reshus. It means he gets permission from his master to depart. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, and before going on, we have a topic heading and structural note where we feature a diamond. Dugmois shel shliach tzibor. We're going to have two examples of a shliach tzibor. Echot she'erich ve'echot shekitzer. One who elongated the davening, and the other who did a very quick job. So ma'ase b'talmid echot shi'arad lifnei hateva b'fnei Rabbi Eliezer v'hoyom marich yoser midai. One of the students went to lead the davening in the presence of Rabbi Eliezer, and he elongated the davening much more than the regular. Amru lo talmidov. So the student said to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbeinu, kama arkon huzel? Wow, how long this guy is taking. Amar lahem klu marach yosu mi Moshe Rabbeinu. Do you think he's taking longer than Moshe Rabbeinu when he prayed? Dechtiv be regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, it says es arboim hayoyim ves arboim halayla. He spent 40 days and nights in prayer in front of the Almighty on Mount Sinai. Shuv ma'ase b'talmid echot shi'ar lifnei hateva b'fnei Rabbi Eliezer. Same type of incident with a student serving as shliach tzibor. Vayamikatsu yosu midai. He did a very quick job. Amulo Talmidov, Kama Katsun Huzer, the Talmidov said how how hasty or how short he is making the davening. Amrule, Amar Lahul, so Rabbi Lozer said to them, Klum Mekatsir Yosim Moshe Rabbeinu, think he's any shorter, any briefer than Moshe Rabbeinu was? Dechtiv, Moshe Rabbeinu had a tefillah when Miriam developed Tzoras. He said, Kale, no, Rafa, no, law. That was his entire prayer. So as rapid or as concise as this particular shliach tzibur is making the davening, it's not any shorter than that. Omer of Yankiv, Omer of Chista, kol mevakish rachamim al chavero, one who wants to pray on behalf of his friend, ein tzorach lahazkir shmo, it's not binding to mention the recipient's name. Shenemar keil no refon ala, as we said, Moshe Rabbeinu was praying on behalf of his sister Miriam. V'lo kol midkar shmo de Miriam, he didn't mention her name Miriam. Tonu Rabbanan. Before going on in the Gemara, we have another topic heading, the Nosei, and we have I note that this is Ad HaMishnah B'Omid Bei, so this topic takes us down quite a bit, Omid Bei's, and it is Krios V'Shmona Esrei. It has to do with the bowings in Shmona Esrei. Tonu Rabbanan, Elu Brochos Shalom Shoche Bohen. The following are the brochos that a person bows in, and we will note later that For the commoner, for the standard person, bowing is quite restricted actually, and it is as follows: Avos Tchila Vesof at the beginning of Shmona Esrei, which is the first bracha is called Avos. We mentioned the names Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov, and those are the three fathers of the nation of Israel. So it's called Ovos. At the beginning there's a bowing, and at the end where we say Mogen Avraham. Behoidah Tchila Vesof, that the Modim Bracha at the beginning of it and at the end of that particular Bracha. Ve'im bo'al ha'shuach b'soif kol bracha u'bracha u'b'tchilas kol bracha u'bracha melamdin oso shelo yishche. If a person should come to want to bow at the end of each bracha and at the beginning of each bracha, we train him, we teach him not to do so. Omar Shimon Pazi, Omar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. You'll notice we have some markings here, the double underlined with under Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi and a number one here, and also to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text is explained under our Mivneh heading to the Shonos by Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, and we'll also be using a dashed underline Havlotas Ahanoshim Hashonim Biachas Likrios. We're going to be talking about three different types of people in the context of bowings. We'll talk about a Hedyot, that's a commoner. We'll make mention on the top of Omid Beis regarding a Kohen Gadol, and finally a Melech, a king. And as we said, there are going to be two Lashonos, two versions of Rabbi Shulman Levi. So we continue in the Gemara with Rabbi Shulman Levi, Mishum Bar Kapora. In the name of Bar Kapora, Hedyot, Kamo Shamanu, the Hedyot is restricted to bowing, four bowings, two at the beginning and end of the first bracha, and two at the beginning of, and the end of the Moedim bracha. Continuing at the top of Omid Beis, Kohen Gadol besoif kol bracha u'bracha. Kohen Gadol is expected to bow at the end of each bracha. And Rashi points out the higher the position that a person has, the more humility he must have. And a demonstration of humility is through bowing. So the Kohen Gadol is bowing much more than the commoner. The Hamelech, Tchilas kol bracha bracha, Vesef kol bracha bracha. The king, the highest office, he bows at the beginning and end of each bracha. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok bar Nachmeni, L'div Hoshel Minei to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, it was explained to me by Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi differently. So this is version number two. Hedyot kamo shamanu, the commoner, like we already said, the four bowings. Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol will be here in this version like the previous version, Melech. Tchilas v'sof kol bracha bracha. And now the king, according to this version, Hamelech kivan shikora shuv eino zokef. A king, once he has bowed at the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei, he remains bowed till the end. Shenemar, v'ikich halos shlomo l'espalo v'chulei, kom milifnei mizbach Hashem, Mikroa al Birkov. It says in this pasuk that when Shlomo Melech finished his davening, he then got up from his position of being bowed. So we see that the king remains bowed for the entire Shmoneh Esrei. Tanu Rabbana. In this source, we will feature three different types of bending. Kida is one term that's found in Psukim. Al Apayim. Kiva is a situation where a person bows with his head facing the ground. In other words, it seems to be a situation where a person bends at the waist and his face, thereby creating a 90 degree angle, his face facing down. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Vatikod Bas Sheva Apayim Oretz. Apayim is her face facing the ground. Kriya, that term called Kriya, is al birkaim. It's getting down on one's knees. Shenema mikroa al birkov. He got up from being bent, from being bowed on his knees. Birkov, our knees. Hishtachavo, what is that? Zu pishut yadayim raglayim. This is total prostration with hands and feet flat out. Shenema Havoi, Novoi, Aniv Imcha, Ve'achecha, Lihishtach Havois, L'cho Orza. So you have the term Hishtach Havoya and Orza, fully on the ground. Omar Rabchia Brei Durafuna. Chazino Luhu, I saw, he says, I saw Labai Varova, the Matzlu Atzluye. Rashi says, Kishinofu Malpaneim, when they would do the Nefilas Apayim, which is very likely what we refer to nowadays as Tachanun. This is a prayer said after the Shmona Esrei. So when they would do that, they would matzla. So Rashi says, the matzla, so kishnefal paneim, ein poishtim yudeim v'raglayim, ela matin al tzideim. They didn't spread out full prostration on the floor. Rather, they bent onto their sides. The Gemara continues, toni chado ha-kireya b'hoido ha-rei ze meshubach. One who bows at hoida'a. We won't explain that yet, other than that the word that literally has to do with thanks. But one who bows at hoida, hareze meshubach, v'tanido hareze megunah. Another source says that it's negative. Lo kashya, there is no contradiction here. And notice we have a little one here. This is the first approach to resolve these two sources. And number two, a second approach will follow later. So he says the resolution is lo kashya ha b'tchila ha l'besof. One is a reference to a bowing at the beginning that he should do. And Ha'olibasov, he should not do. We're going to assume right now that Hoidah is a reference to the Broch of Moidim in the Shmona Esrei. So the Gemara is suggesting something that we are not familiar with in terms of our practice, but it tries to resolve the two sources by saying that bowing is praiseworthy when done at the beginning and negated when it is done at the end. The Gemara continues, Rava kara b'hoda tchila v'sof. Rava would bow at the beginning and end, similar to the way we practice. Amri the Rabbonan amai kovid morhochi. So the Rabbonan asked, Rava, why are you bowing at the beginning and end of the moedim? Amalu chazino l'rav nachma d'kara. I saw Rav Nachman bow at beginning and end, and I saw Rav Sheshis behave similarly. The question is, well, what do you do with this Tanaic source that says one who bows at Hoidah is it's considered negative? It's Megune. So Gemara, Rav answers, "Hahi b'hoidah shebahalel." That's a reference to one who bows during the Hoidu Lashem Ki Tov that we recite during the Hallel recitation, and had nothing to do with Shmoyne Esrei. Question: "V'hatanya hakareya b'hoidah u'b'hoidah shel Hallel hareze meguna." Here you have a source that isolates Hoidah from the Hoidah of Hallel, which is mashma that bowing during Hoidah of Shmoyne Esrei is considered meguna. But if you are going to say that you bow at the beginning and end of the Moedim, so what room do you leave for this source? He answers, Ki Tanya Hahi, Poido de Birkas Hamazon. In the Birkas Hamazon, after we say the first Baruch Hazon Es HaKol, we go on to say, Noide Lecha Hashem Elokeinu, Vechule, etc. So there's a Noide is a Baruch of Hoida in the Birchas HaMazon. So it's a one who bows during the Hoidah of Birchas HaMazon, that's considered Megune. That's considered worth negating. HaMispalel V'to'o Simen Ra Lo. Someone who made a mistake in davening, this is a bad sign. V'im Shliach Tzibor Hu, and if the mistake was made by the Shliach Tzibor, by the one leading the public Shmon Esrei, then Simen Ra L'shol Chav. It's a bad sign for those that sent him. In other words, it's a bad sign for the congregation whom he represents. How is the mistake of Shel Sibor reflecting upon the mass, upon the community? Because they are the ones that sent him, and there's a rule that the emissary of a person is like the person himself. So he represents them. He is their emissary. His mistake really casts a reflection or light on the rest of them. Amru alav al Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa. It was reported regarding Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, shei mispala al acholim. He would pray for the benefit, for the remedying of ailments of the sick. The omer zechai v'zemes, and he would be able to say after he prayed, this person will live and this person will not. Amru lo minayin ati yadea. They asked Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, how do you know this one's going to die and this one's going to live? If my tefillah comes out with fluency, then I know that the person for whom I was davening will live. And if not, so then I know he won't make it. He'll be torn up. He won't make it. Before we go further, let's take a look at the Rashi on this Im Shigura. Rashi is at the beginning of the Mishnah commentary. He says, Im Shigura, Im Sidura Tfilosi Vithi Bemerutza, if it's smooth running, through my articulation, pronunciation is smooth going, so then that's one thing. The Eini Nichshal, and I don't stumble. Utchinosi Nevas Milivi LP. Koma Shani Chofetz Larich B'tachanunim. This I found to be an interesting addition. Not only a matter of fluency, but all the ideas, all the elements concerning which I want to make mention of come forth in a flowing fashion from my heart, from my thoughts to my mouth. In other words, from potential to actual, if you want to phrase it like that. If it comes out smoothly, if the flow of ideas and eventual pronunciation are timed and come out in a smooth fashion, that's a sign that the person for whom I'm davening will live. Once again, as we saw before, that if you are representing someone in davening, so your actions or your behavior is cast back upon the one who you are representing. So that's how he would know if his prayer was smooth, then the person for whom he was praying will be answered. Continuing in the Gemara, Ahei, this question is on which bracha in the Shmon Esrei do we say that it's a simin ra? The Mishnah has said, I must follow it all, simin ra loy. So in which bracha is the mistake a bad sign? Amar Pchia Amarav, Amar Safra, Mishum Chad Debei Rebbe. Rav Safra quoted someone that learned in the yeshiva of Rebbe, that's Chad Debei Rebbe, Be'ovos. The mistake in Ovos would represent a problem. Rashi says, Be'ovos Shu Tchilas Hatfilo, Remez Hu She'ein Chofetz Ba. It's the beginning of this tfila, so it's a remez, it's a sign that the Almighty doesn't even want this tfila. Ika demasi la braisa. There are those that teach, that take Rabbi Chiya Amar of Safra and apply it to a braisa. So we've indicated this with some markings. There were two versions here. This is Roman. We just did Roman numeral number 1, and we're about to see Roman numeral number 2. And the squiggle underline under the expression ika demasi la indicates a transition from one lashon to the next. So, iko demasni lo abraisa. As we said, there are those that attach Reb Chiya Amar Safra's statement to a braisa, which says, "Hamispalo tzorach shiachavin eslibo bekulan." One who davens has to have kavona, has to have concentration and awareness concerning all of the brachas. If a person doesn't have that ability, and that's a very, very hard thing to do, to have kavona, have concentration regarding all of the brachas. Yichavein eslibo be'achas. So he should have kavona in at least one. Amar Abchia, Amar Av Safra, Mishum Chad Be'Rav, Chad Be'Rebi, Be'Ovos. That one that he should have kavona for is the first bracha, the bracha of Ovos. Amru Alav Al Rabbi Chanina V'chulei, and he said, Im Shkuros V'Losi B'Fi, if my prayer came out flawlessly, then I knew that the person for whom I was davening would survive. Mino hani mili. From where do we know, what type of proof could you bring that shkura tfila is a sign that the tfila was accepted, that the prayer was accepted? So we're looking for some kind of scriptural reference that to what we learned in the Mishnah. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Omar Kral, the Pasuk says, Borei Niv Svasayim, Shalom Shalom, Lorachoik, Ulikaroiv, Omar Hashem, Urafasiv. So what do we see here from this Pasuk? The Gemara is not going to explain, it's just we're supposedly clear from the Pasuk itself, so we have to explain. Borei Niv Svasayim. Niv is the ability to articulate. And the word borei is taken to mean bori. If the niv is bori, is healthy, is smooth running, then I know I know from here it says shalom, shalom. There will be shalom. There will be peace and health to the one concerning whom I davened. As we go on in the Gemara, we see a series of triangles, and a dashed underline as well is used in this section. And under the Mivneh heading, we have Sidra Shel Memra Shel Rechiv Ba'Avo. We have a series of comments made by Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. First part of the series is Kol Hanavim Kulan. We'll see a reference to his description of for whom the Nevi'im, the prophets, prophesied. And then later on the Omid, there will be another comment of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan regarding an aspect of Hilchas Tefillah. So now the Gemara. Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol Hanavim Kulam, Lo Nisnabu, Elu Masi Bita Talmid Chacham, Ule Oysa Pragmata Talmid Chacham, Mahan Talmid Chacham, Mine Chosav. When one studies the prophets, they'll notice there are sections that are very positive, where rewards are promised, and words of consolation. All of this was said for whom? For those that marry their daughters to Talmidei Chachamim. Those that Oseh Pragmatia are people that invest or make money for Talmidei Chachamim. They'll take products from Talmidei Chachamim, and then if need be they'll process them, and if not they'll go and sell them and merchandise their wares. So that's Oseh Pragmatia Talmidei Chachamim. What else? For whom else will all of this nevuah go? Ulemahane Talmidei Chachamim minechosav. Someone who enables Talmidei Chachamim to benefit from his holdings, from his properties. Aval Talmidei Chachamim asman. The person who is actually engaged in the Torah study, the Talmud Chacham himself. Ayin lorasa alekim zilosecha yaseh lemachak eloi. No eye has beheld what reward awaits the Talmidei Chacham themselves other than the Almighty himself. That reward will be granted for those who await it. One might explain this idea of waiting is the basis of Judaism in a certain manner of speaking, and that is that Judaism promises reward for the fulfillment of mitzvahs, but we don't promise immediate reward. And it's very unfortunate that people look at this world, the Olam Hazeh, the world in which we live, thinking that in this world a person is to receive his rewards for his good deeds, the mitzvahs, the commandments that he fulfills. And that's not necessarily the case. And that's alluded to in this pasuk, that the great reward, in this case for Talmidei Chachamim, is done for those that wait for it. Talmidei Chachamim are those people that give of themselves for Torah study, foregoing a lot of this worldly pleasures, because they are waiting, so to speak, for their reward in the world to come. Continuing in the Gemara, the Omar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Hanavim Kulam Lo Nisnabu Elo Limois HaMoshiach. The information found in the prophets, especially the words of consolation and of gain and benefit, those were said for the Yemois HaMoshiach, Aval the Olam Haba, but for the future world, then Ayin lo rasa l'kim zulosecha. The reward that is granted to those people who deserve it in Olam Haba, that reward no one has perceived, not even the prophets. Upligo de Shmuel, this approach is at odds with Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel ein bein Olam Hazeh, the Masa Mashiach, el shibud machiz bovad. There is no difference between a natural course of events that will take place during the times of Mashiach and the times before, the times of Shibud Malchios, which is the times that we live in when there are other governmental forces ruling over us other than the Moshiach and the Malchus based David. So Shmuel says there's no real difference between what we see today and the days of the Mashiach, other than, we'll say, governmental leadership concerns. But in terms of, to say that, as far as Shmuel is concerned, all the glorious promises that are found in the prophets don't apply to Yemos HaMashiach. And that's what we meant, Pligo de Shmuel, that the approach of Chibar Abba was taking is at odds with the approach Shmuel takes to how to view the Yemos HaMashiach. And now, how does Shmuel know that the Yemos HaMashiach will not be that much different than the current world we live in? Shenema, ki lo yechdal evyoin mikerev haaretz. The impoverished will not cease to be part of the community, they will be part of the land. Showing that that it says here in this posik that that poverty will not cease, that indicates even into the Yemos HaMashiach there will still be poverty, just like there is poverty in Olam Hazeh. V'omar Reb Chiya bar Abba Reb Yochanan kol anavim kulam lo nisnabu elo lebalei tshuva. The promises of reward in the found in the prophets, that is for those that are penitent. Avot tzadikim gemurim, people that are fully righteous individuals, that those are people that never engaged in something that we would call constant or common sinning, but they maintain their righteousness. The reward for them, ayin l'ros elikim zulasecho. No one, not even the prophets, beheld the reward due to them. Now this approach of Reb Chiya bar Abba on this particular point, upliga de Rabbi Avoh, this is at odds with Rabbi Avoh's approach. D'yam Rabbi Avoh, mokom shebalei tshuva, and then the position that balei tshuva, that the penitent ones occupy, tzadikim gemurim einam omdim. Even the completely righteous cannot attain the heights and the privilege of the balei tshuva. Shenemar, the pasuk says, shalom shalom, lo rochoik v'la koroiv. And in terms of the order of things, lo rochoik resha, there's acknowledgement first of the rochoik. Those are people that were far away and did tshuva. V'chadar l'korov. And then only later, only after that, do we make reference to the korov, the people that were always tzadikim, always righteous. Rabbi Yochanan Amaloch, Rabbi Yochanan, who was quoted by Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, who says that the tzaddikim gemurim are on a higher plane, as witnessed by his approach, that the reward due to the tzaddikim gemurim is something that no human eye or human mind ever perceived. So Rabbi Yochanan, what does he do with this particular pasuk, where you see in the order of the pasuk that the rechoikim are mentioned first? So Rabbi Yochanan Omaloch, Rabbi Yochanan gave preeminence to the Tzadikim Gemurim. He says, my Rochoik, what does the term Rochoik mean? Shoya Rochoik Midvar Avera. It's a person who was far from sinning, hence he could be called the Tzadik Gomor. He was Rochoik Midvar Avera Meikora. From the beginning, he never had practiced sinning in the we'll call it the constant ongoing sense. The umay korov, and so what does near mean? She korov l'dvar avera meikora v'nisrachik mimenu hashta. This is a reference to the Baal Tshuva that up till recently he was close to sins, and he later decided to distance himself from them. That's the reference to the what we call the Baalei Tshuva. So, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rochoik in the Pasuk means the people who are distant from sin, hence the Tzadik and Gurim are mentioned first, and that's Rabbi Yochanan's approach, putting them on a higher plane. The Gemara continues, my ayin lo ro'asa, what do you mean by that no eye ever beheld it? What's being referred to? Amri b'shuvan Levi, ze yayin ha'meshumor ba'anovov misheshes yumei breshes. This is something that's a bit esoteric, but we'll translate, leaving the deeper meaning for some other time. It's a reference to the wine that was kept in its grapes from the 6 days of creation. Some very special element is being referred to here under the topic of ayin lo ro'asa, the eye that never beheld. And number two, a second pshat, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Omar ze ayden shelo shalta bo ayin kol bria. It's a place called Eden that no eye ever beheld it. That's Ayin L'Rasa Elokim. Shema Tomar Adam Rishon Heichan Haya. You might ask, what do you mean no one saw Eden? Where was Adam Rishon? Answer, Bagan. He was in Gan Eden. He wasn't in Eden itself. Shema Tomar Hu Gan Hu Eden. You might say, well, they're one and the same. And therefore, people did see it. We saw Adam and Chava and Kayin and Hevel. They saw Gan Eden. So how can you say that Ayin L'Rasa, that no human ever perceived it, is a reference to Eden, if you say that the Gan and Eden are one and the same, so people did see it. So the, you know, so we're saying if you say that the Gan and Eden are one and the same, so people did see it. So the Gemara says no. If you try to say that Hu Gan Hu Eden, Talmud Lomar V'Nahar Yoytze May Eden Lashkos Es Hagan. It says in this pasuk quite clearly that a river flowed out of a place called Eden to irrigate or to water the Gan. Gan l'chud, the Eden l'chud. So it's clear that the Gan is one thing and Eden itself is something else. And that Eden, no human ever perceived or beheld it. Tanur Rabbanan, we continue in a Tanaic source with two diamonds that are featured, and on the side, under our Mivneh heading, we've noted the diamonds and the use of a squiggle underline as well. Shnei Maisim, there are two stories, Tfilosef Sher Bechnina Ben Doisa, featuring Rebbe Chanina Ben Doisa in prayer. So Tanur Rabbanan, Maisa Shechola Benoi Shel Rabban Gamliel, an incident happened and where the son of Rabban Gamliel took ill. Shogar Shnei Tabin Yechomen Eitzer Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa, and he sent two Torah sages to Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa Levakish of Rachamim to pray for the son's recovery. Kevan Shira Oisom Olo Lalio Uvikish of Rachamim. When Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa saw the emissaries of Rabbi Gamliel, so he knew what they were there for. So he immediately ran to the attic, to the second story, and that's the Aliyah, and he prayed. Go, the fever has departed the child. Amru lo, v'chi novi ato. So the emissary said, like, how do you know? Are you a prophet of some kind? Amru lahem, lo novi anochi, v'lo ben novi anochi. I am not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet. Ela kach mekuvani, but thusly I have as a tradition. Im shkura tfilosi b'fi yodei ani shehu mekubal. If my prayer comes out with fluency, like we explained earlier, so I know that it has been accepted. V'im lav, if it doesn't come out with fluency, yodei ani shehu meturaf. I then know that the prayer and likewise the victim are torn up. But so I know that since my tefillah came out with fluency, the child will be all right. And not only that, but he said the fever that he was suffering from has departed. Yashu v'kosvu v'kivno s'shah. These emissaries took note of the time that this was reported, that those who said what he did. Shabol etzer Amaliel, when they came to Amaliel, Amar lahem ho'avoda lo chasatem v'lo hosatem elakach hoya maisa. So Rabbi Gamliel says to them, Havodah is an expression of oath, of exclamation, of swearing. He says, you know, you didn't, not any earlier and not any later. Exactly like you are reporting, that's what actually happened. The moment that you recorded the fever having departed, that's when it departed. Vishal Lanu Mayim Lishtos, and that child, the son, at that moment asked for something to drink, a sign that the fever had departed, because when he was in his feverish state, it seems from here that he was in some type of stupor, not even able to ask for a drink. But at that moment, he asked for a drink. V'shuv ma'isa Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa shalach lu moter etzer Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And Rabbi Chanina went to study by the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. V'cholo beno Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and his son took ill. Amar lo Rabbi Chanina ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai turns to Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa and says, Chanina beni, ba'kei shalof rachmim v'yichya. Pray for him so that he should live. He niach roshe bein birkov ubika shalof rachmim. Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa placed his head between his knees, bent over, and started to pray. V'choya, and the child lived. Amar Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Ilmoli hitiach ben Zakkai, he speaks about himself. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai speaking about himself says that if ben Zakkai would have hitiach ben Zakkai es roshav ben ruk of kol ayom kulo, lo hoyu mashgichim alav, if he would have wedged his head between his legs all day in prayer, then the heavens wouldn't have listened to him. It was only because of your prayer, he said to Rabbi Chanin ben Doiso, that the child lived. Amro lo ishto, the wife of Rabbi Chanin ben Zakkai says to her husband, V'chi Chanino godol mimcha, is he greater than you? Amar lo lav, no, he's not greater, not certainly not a greater sage than I am. Ela hu doima ke'ever lefnei ha-melech, v'ani doima ke'sar lefnei ha-melech. To appreciate the difference between me and him regarding our connection with the Almighty, so he is like a servant and I am like a minister. The nature of a servant with regard to the king is he goes in and out at whim, without any formal pre-timed meetings or pre-scheduled meetings, which is the case when you're dealing with a minister. If you ask who's on a higher level, who's considered a loftier position, so a minister is a loftier position than a slave. But Rav Chanin ben Doiso had this intimate relationship with the Almighty that he was able to go and come at whim, and hence his tefillos were got in, so to speak, much more readily, much more easily than had I been the one praying. Or I certainly had I been the one exclusively praying. There's no reason to think that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't also pray, but the main, the effective prayer, the one that made the difference, was that of Rabbi Chanino ben Doiso. The Omar Rabchia bar Abba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Al Yispal Odom Elo Babayis Sheyesh Shom Chalonos. This is a halacha that we've learned earlier in this parak, that one should not daven, one should not pray in a room that is windowless. Shenemar v'chovin psichile valisei neged Yerushalayim. This is a pasuk from Daniel, and it says that coven are windows. They had windows opened in the room that he was praying, facing Yerushalayim. Omar Rav Kana, chotzef olai ma dematzli v'biksa. It's considered uncouth or haughty for one to pray in a biksa. Rashi says, "B'bika shekshu b'mokum sius cholov emas melech v'libo nishbar." Bika is an open valley, an open area that doesn't contribute to a feeling of humility and awe of the Almighty. So therefore, praying in a place of great open expanse does not contribute to the proper frame of mind for davening. And chutzpah literally means it's considered chutzpah for one to pray in a place like that. One who enumerates, who publicizes his sins, is considered a matter of chutzpah. And that has to do with a person who articulates, who publicizes his sins, it becomes less and less weighty to him, and there's less chance of his doing proper penitence. Therefore, one should hesitate to publicize his sins. And we learn this from the pasuk, the Shenema, Ashrei Nisui Pesha Ksui Chata. Fortunate is the one that is Ksui Chata, his sins are covered. Hence, what we mentioned, he doesn't publicize them, but tries to keep them secret, and that helps to contribute to a feeling of shame and embarrassment, which is very much desirable in the realm of sinning. There is more on this topic in the Tosfos that, for those who are interested, can tune in to our Tosfos Shir. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a Shir on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.